Revelation 15 verse 1, we're going to look at up to verse 4 for many times, but we're going to read it up to chapter 16 verse 1. This is the word of God. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After these things I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen clean and bright, and girded around their chests with golden sashes. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Your word is the only thing that clearly teaches us Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, what he is doing, what he will do. Oh Father, we thank you for letting us know what you are doing, what you have done, and what you will do. How you are going to consummate your perfect and complete salvation. Let us, through your word, see the final consummation that you will bring in Jesus Christ when he returns. And even as we live here on earth, let us never forget the spiritual, present, heavenly reality that has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ for us. Let us live our lives with joy. No matter how much you might have to suffer, let us rejoice, for the perfect salvation has been accomplished by your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. Today, we begin chapter 15. Now, chapter 15 and 16 are one unit. And it's about seven bowls of God's judgment. I don't know if you remember, but way at the beginning, we have divided the book of Revelation into seven sections. And if I remind you of how we have divided this book, chapters 1 through 3 is one unit, and it's about seven churches, and chapters 4 through 7, seven seals of God's judgment, chapter 8 through 11, seven trumpets of God's judgment. And chapters 12 through 14, the woman, two beasts, and 144,000 people. And chapters 15 and 16, which we are looking at today, seven bowls of God's judgment. Then from chapter 17, it gets a little bit tricky. So I would tell you that at least there are three possibility how we're going to divide the last two sections. The division that I gave you away at the beginning was that from chapters 17 through chapter 21, verse 8 is the sixth section, and chapter 21, verse 9 through 22, that was the seventh section. But we could divide this following way also, chapter 17 through 19 as the sixth section and 20 through 22 as the seventh section, or chapter 17 through 20 as the sixth section and 21 and 22 as the seventh section. I know it's a bit confusing, but you know, these sections are not, even these chapters are not originally divided by God himself. If you read the original Bible, there is no division. It's just continuously written. But, for our convenience, we have divided into chapters, and for our helping of our understanding of this book, we are dividing this section into seven sections, and how we're going to divide, that's not what God has shown us. But up to this point, it's pretty obvious how this book could be divided, because there are seven trumpets and seven seals, seven churches. So it was pretty easy, but from chapter 17, it's not that easy. But we do so, we divide these things into these sections so that we could, it will be easier for us to understand this book, rather than looking at the whole thing all at once. Once you divide this book into little sections, it's much easier for us to handle. And that's all the purpose for dividing. It's not, divinely, we're not saying that those divisions are inspired. No, we're not saying that at all. But for us who are studying this, the Bible, it's a good thing that we will try to divide and how the book is divided and all that. Anyway, we'll talk about that more when we get to chapter 17. Like I said, chapters 15 and 16, this section, just like the other six sections, deals with the time period between our Lord's first coming and his second coming. The time period between his first coming and his second coming, now that time period is called church age. So in the book of Revelation, each section is dealing with the same period of time, namely church age, time between his first coming and his second coming. So again, this fifth section that we're looking at, chapters 15 and 16, will deal with the same time period, church age. But as we read the book of Revelation, we realize that the latter sections concentrate more at the end, and the judgment of God grows stronger and stronger. And keep that in mind as we read the rest of this book. Now, I said this many times, but God's salvation is equal to judgment of this sinful world. When God saves, he judges his enemies. And we see this throughout the redemptive history. Noah's flood. When God saves Noah's family, at the same time, he judges the whole world. The Noah's flood kills everything in this world except Noah's family. So salvation of Noah's family is at the same time judgment of this sinful world. Now, Israelites coming out of Egypt, same way, you know, crossing the Red Sea, Israelites were saved, but Egyptian army was destroyed at the same time. Just like it, the final salvation, the perfect and complete final salvation will be at the same time the complete and final judgment of this sinful world. We have already seen this through seven seals and seven trumpet judgments, how ever since our Lord's ascension, God is pouring out his judgment upon this sinful world. Church age has been how long now? 2,000 years. Now, this whole church age is compared to the time period of 10 plagues in Egypt. Now, this is important that you understand what's going on. A Bible, even the Old Testament, it was all telling us what Christ will accomplish. It wasn't just telling us what is happening in Israel or Egypt. Yes, those things really happened there, but those events were pointing to what Jesus is going to do and what he is accomplishing when he came. So, the Exodus from Egypt, that salvation from Egypt was pointing to true Exodus that Jesus Christ accomplishes. So, how was Israelites saved? Well, God judged Egypt. He poured out 10 plagues. And after the 10th plague, they came out. Now think about this. Right before they come out of Egypt, right before they are saved out of Egypt, there was a time period, and I don't know how long, but there was a time period where 10 plagues pour out upon the nation of Egypt. Now, I don't know, the first one came, and I don't know how long they had to wait for the second one to come, but it was a period of time. Now, that period of time of 10 plagues is compared to church age. After 10th plague, they are saved out of Egypt. Now, I don't know, we cannot count how many plagues that he's pouring out, but according to the book of Revelation, we could say there are seven seals of plagues or judgment, and seven trumpets of judgment, and seven bowls of judgment. Right before the final salvation. So when we go back to Old Testament, Exodus story, and the Egypt was symbol of this world. Pharaoh was pointing to Satan. So here, right before God truly saves them out of Egypt, then his judgment came. For that period of time, Israelites were living in Egypt. It's not when God poured out 10 plagues upon Egypt, Israelites were already out. No, they were living in Egypt when those plagues came. So there was a time period where Israelites had to live in Egypt experiencing these 10 plagues with Egyptians. Just like today, Christians experience God's judgment that he pours out during this church age upon this world, Christians experience these judgments living in this world with non-Christians who are living in this world at this time. Understand the comparison. And that is very, very important then. Then during that 10 plagues, what do you think? How, let's say those Israelites, what should they think during those times of those 10 plagues pouring out to Egypt? That same mindset should be ours, but of course those Israelites, they didn't have good understanding as we do. So we should understand our period, the church period, in terms of that period when those 10 plagues came down upon Egypt. Throughout the church age, even though they are not the ultimate judgments of God, God pours out his judgment upon this sinful world. Now think about this. Let's say you are an Israelite during that time of 10 plagues. Now you're living in Egypt, and you're living with Egyptians in Egypt, and God is pouring out his judgment upon Egypt. And let's say your whole focus was about how well and how wealthy you want to live in Egypt. If that was your purpose and your goal, don't you think that you were very foolish? How can knowing that God is pouring out judgment upon Egypt and God's will is to save you out of Egypt, and you see God's judgment pouring down and your goal and your purpose is to live wealthy in Egypt, how stupid is that? No, you understand that you're going to go out. As an Israelite during that time, as you see God's judgment pouring out, you understand you're going to go out. And you understand that Egypt will be judged. So if you are a wise person, you're going to forsake Egypt. And you're going to look forward to the promised land. Unless you just don't have any intelligence, you will not live your life to be well in Egypt during that time. That is how it is today. We understand that God is pouring out his judgment upon this world. Until that final salvation comes, he's going to continue to judge this sinful world. And you understand that you will be out of this world, and spiritually you are already out, and you understand that this world will be judged completely, it will be destroyed completely. And how can you then, with that understanding, that your goal and your purpose is to live well and wealthy in this world? It just doesn't make any sense unless you do not believe. How foolish it is for a Christian to live as if their whole purpose is to be wealthy and healthy in this world, when God is pouring out his judgment upon this world, even now, even as that person is thinking that, God is pouring out his judgment. And yet, so many so-called Christians or churchgoers, that's what they do. They cling to Egypt. Egypt is their home. It is just amazing how foolish these people are. They don't understand what is really going on. They do not have any idea what's really, really going on. They're being fooled by this world. But God's word is very clear. Understand what is really happening today. Understand what God is doing so that you will know, so that you will not be foolish. Until that final judgment of God, God pours out His judgment, not ultimate judgment, but nevertheless His judgment. And as that time nears, the judgment gets stronger and stronger. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Do you hear that? What is really going on even today? The wrath of God is being poured out to unrighteousness. And we saw this a few weeks back. When God made this world, He made it perfect. There was no chaos. But sin has come in and chaos. So all the chaos that you see in this world right now is the judgment of God. Because heaven is never like this. There's no earthquake or famine or flood in heaven. There's no death, diseases, or illnesses in heaven. In heaven, you will never see a tiger eating man. That just doesn't happen in heaven. But this world is under God's curse because of sin. And you see His judgment being poured out. I mean, you just have to go to internet and just click on any news website and you will see God's judgment is being poured out. If this is our understanding, if this is what the book of the Revelation, book of Revelation shows, then how can we live our lives focused on this world? It's the most foolish thing to do. But even though God's judgment is being poured out upon this world does not repent. We saw this already, right? Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. "The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues," remember, if you look at the history of the world for 2,000 years, there has been so many incidences or events where you could see how God was pouring out His judgment upon this world. So many people got killed, so many wars, so many diseases, so many natural disasters and all kinds of things like that. But people just do not understand what is going on and they do not repent. And chapter 9 verse 20 says, "The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murder, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts." God pours out His judgments, but they do not repent of their sins to the end. To the very end, this world will not repent. And that is what we're going to see in these seven bowls of judgment. Revelation 16 verse 9, "Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent so as to give him glory. As his judgment grows stronger and stronger, indicating the time is near, these people got more stubborn and they did not repent. Revelation 16 verse 11 says, "And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent over their deeds." They actually blasphemed God even as they suffered these judgments. And this is not, you know, surprising to us, because we saw this already when we go back to Exodus. When these 10 plagues were pouring out to Egypt, did Egyptians, especially King Pharaoh, did he repent? No. He hardened his heart. People got more stubborn. They blasphemed the name of God. We saw this already. So, next plague comes down. They did not repent. They hardened their hearts. Next plague comes down. They did not repent. They hardened their hearts. And that is exactly what goes on in this world even today. Right now. When they hear this kind of stuff, they don't repent. You think that non-Christian will come in and when hear this, they're going to repent? Well, unless God blesses him. No, they're going to harden their hearts. They become more stubborn. They hate God more and more. That's what results. Thus, they deserve that final judgment of God. Their sins are filled. So they hardened their hearts. Thus, the sins of this world has been filled up, and the last ultimate judgment of God will come, and at the same time, the ultimate salvation of God will be consummated. And that is what is going on today. So as you understand what's going on today, how you must live your life, and what kind of attitude that you should have, what kind of mindset, what kind of goals and purpose that you should have, it becomes very clear. And yet, we're still sinners and we act foolishly. We act as if we don't have truth, that we still don't know what is really going on. You know, world has different value system. They say someone is wise and smart if they go to good college, if they have a big salary, awesome job or whatever. But Bible doesn't do that. You know, those people who went to good college and who has a good job and make so much money, they could be so foolish according to the Bible. This is not how we value ourselves or our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't judge according to the world. We judge according to the standard of heaven. Well, let us look at then, chapter 15, verse 1. "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished." Now after these seven plagues, seven judgment, a bowls judgment, we're not going to see any more a series of judgments. We're going to see the end of Satan and his beasts and his people. They're all thrown into the lake of fire. The only thing that will remain in chapters 21 and 22 is heaven. But brothers and sisters, remember that we too deserve the same judgment of God, because we are sinners also, not any better than non-Christians. But we believe and know that Jesus Christ has received all the judgment of God for us and instead of us on the cross. This is the only way of salvation that God has provided for sinners. That you believe that Jesus died for you. That Jesus has received that judgment instead of you. Now, this is foolishness to the world. You know, I mean, if the world would think of the way of salvation, this is definitely not going to be this way, like this. Because the way of God is foolishness to the world. What is that? Just believe? Just believe that he died for you? Yeah. The foolishness of God is much wiser than wisdom of men. You will see. At the end, everything will be revealed. Thus, we have rather received grace of God. Grace of God. Why? How do you know that you have received the grace of God? You repent. That's how you know. Non-Christians will never repent. They will regret, but not repent. But see, you repent. And that is how you know that you are a recipient of God's grace. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau. Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. You know, in the Old Testament, his birthright was pointing to, it's a symbol of heavenly birthright. You know, you becoming a citizen of God's kingdom. He sold that for mere a meal. Like, you know, just like one dinner or one lunch. It shows that he doesn't regard his birthright in high regard, right? Just like so many churchgoers today, they don't care about their citizenship of heaven. It's nothing to them. But citizenship of the United States or, you know, having so much money here, that kind of thing, oh, those are important to them. But citizenship of heaven, who cares? Just like Esau. He doesn't care. He sold that birthright for mere a meal. Now, verse 17. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Esau, he sought that repentance with tears, but it was never given. God's grace was never given to him. So he regretted, but he was not able to repent. Because only the Holy Spirit will enable us to truly repent. Just because you cry doesn't mean that you have repented. Non-Christians, they regret and they cry. That's not a sign of repentance. So many churchgoers, they think that just because they come to church and they cry so much, they repented. No. It's the grace of God. Only way you are able to truly repent is that God works in you. And you have repented. See, regretting is self-centered. You regret because whatever you have done will bring negative things to you. So you regret it. Because if nothing negative will come to you, then you don't care. But repentance is not like that. It's never about you. It's about God. You are sorry, truly sorry, to hurt God's feelings or hurt His heart. It's not about avoiding the negative consequences of your actions, but it is truly sorry that you have hurt someone that you love. That's true repentance. You and I, we do repent. That's why, well, let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. Very important verse. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. So, according to this verse, there are two kinds of sin. Sin that leads to death, eternal death. And sin that leads not to eternal death. Now, how is it different? Well, one person, it's the same sin, but one person repents. The other doesn't. I'm not saying that you need to repent for your sins to be forgiven. That's not what I'm saying. Because there are so many sins you did not repent, but those sins are already forgiven in Jesus Christ. We're talking about the initial repentance, that you truly turning from this world to God. Non-Christians, their sins are not going to be forgiven. And those sins will lead to death. But Christian sin will never lead that Christian to death. Because those sins are already forgiven in Jesus Christ. Yes, we are indeed the recipient of God's amazing grace. Now, before I end, there's very important matter that I want to address. And I guess because of time, I cannot get into really deep. But we'll talk about this more and more as time goes. But verse 1 says, then I saw another sign in heaven. John sees a sign. Now, because of what is going on in the churches today, especially Korean churches, understanding the biblical signs are very, very important today. Sign. You know, Jesus performed many signs, many miracles. And there's so much misunderstanding of biblical signs, what they are and what they are really showing and teaching us. It's chaos in the churches today. It's called sign. And that is very, very important. Now, sign is not the reality that it is pointing. Sign always points to something. Thus, the focus of a sign is never itself. That is why it's called sign. Like sign that you will see on the freeway. It says LA, 30 miles. That's a sign. That sign itself is not LA. But that sign points to LA. Same way, biblical signs are pointing to something. That's why they are called signs. And the focus of biblical signs are never itself. Let me explain. The biblical signs point to the reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us. For example, sacraments. You have learned that baptism and the Lord's Supper, they are the signs and seals. Why? Because they are signs. Baptism points to the heavenly reality, heavenly blessing that we have in Jesus Christ. The baptism itself is a sign. It's not the reality. So baptism points to our heavenly reality where you have died with Christ and resurrected with Christ, that your sins have been cleansed with His blood. It is amazing heavenly reality that it points to. But water baptism itself is not that reality. Just because you receive the sign doesn't mean you have the reality. Unless you believe, then that sign becomes a seal of approval that you do have that reality as yours to possess. So these miracles that Jesus performs, the signs that Jesus performs, they are signs. They point to the reality of heaven, the reality of our eternal salvation. Just like Lord's Supper. You come, Lord's Supper, you eat that little, you know, bread and drink a little bit of wine. That itself is not reality. It's pointing to real reality where the heavenly banquet in heaven. That's the real reality. Just coming to Lord's table is a sign. Just because you drink that and you eat that bread doesn't mean you have the reality. Unless you believe, then it becomes seal also. So, healing of sick or raising of the dead. And all kinds of other signs and miracles you see in the Bible. They never focus on the signs themselves, but they point to the reality of heaven, reality of our eternal salvation. They point to what is true of heaven, what is true of our eternal life. It is not so much about how physically people are cured, but what does that event show what is true of our eternal life in heaven? It's a sign. But see, so many people are focused on sign itself, but never look at the reality that it points to. So it's all about how physically they are healed. That's all they care. I'm physically healed. But they never see the heavenly reality that sign was pointing, where in heaven we have eternal health. We will never be sick in heaven. That is what Jesus is showing us through that sign. But people don't want to see the reality. They don't care about heaven. They only focus on the sign. You really need to understand this. All those signs that Jesus performs shows how in heaven we do not have any sickness, we do not have any death, we do not have any of these. Jesus heals them to show the reality of heaven. God has messages that He wants to speak to us through those signs. Thus, the biblical signs are revelation of God. God revealing Himself to us through those signs. Thus, they are recorded in the Bible. They are revelation. The Bible is the revelation of God. And all revelation of God has ceased without any exceptions. With the completion of the writings of the Bible, the revelation of God has completely ceased. Now, today, the Bible and the Bible alone is the complete revelation of God. And this is the Reformed understanding of the term sola scriptura, the Bible alone. Thus, today, the biblical signs do not happen. They are ceased. This does not mean that today no one gets healed of their sickness or even rise from the dead. You know, I just saw a news article that this kid was thought to be dead. On his funeral, he got up. And obviously, everyone was so, you know, astonished. So these things happen today. People do get healed from cancer and all this. And even people get up from dead. But those events today have nothing to do with God's revelation. They are not like those signs in the Bible, because signs in the Bible, Jesus performed it to as a sign to show the revelation, show the reality of heaven. But today, he doesn't do that anymore. Doesn't mean he doesn't heal people anymore. He does, but that healing itself has nothing to do with revelation of God that we see in the Bible. Today, these events, they are truly general, meaning that these things happen to both Christians and non-Christians. But in the Bible, when Jesus performs signs, it's always revelation. And it's always connected to our salvation. But see, the era of God revealing himself through these things has ceased, because we have the complete revelation of God in the Bible. So when someone gets healed today, that's just general. God's general acts. What do you call that? It just doesn't come to me. His governing and is controlling everything that goes on in this world, what we call that? Providence, yes, sorry. It's general providence of God. I pray that you understand this. Thus, those events do not have God's messages any longer. In the Old Testament, these things had God's messages. That's why they are revelation. So through visions, God spoke. Through dreams, God spoke. Prophecies, tongues. Tongues had to be interpreted. Interpret, meaning that tongues had messages. Messages of God. Thus, tongues are revelations. Even in the Old Testament, even when the Bible was not complete in the New Testament, God spoke through dreams. In dreams, God's message was there. But he doesn't speak like that anymore, because his revelation is completed. The Bible is the complete, perfect revelation of God. So, God does not speak to you through dreams anymore. You know, some churchgoers, they tell me they had a dream. And then they interpret that dream, and they say that God gave some message through that dream. Hello? Even Christians talk about they had a dream, and that dream showed them that if they were a woman, they're going to have a boy or girl. Dream told them that they're going to have boy and girl. What? Who gave that message? God? It is just amazing how Christians say things without really knowing what they are saying. So all signs, miracles, tongues, dreams, visions, it doesn't happen anymore. Oh yeah, you dream, but it has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God's revelation. There's no message of God in your dreams anymore. Non-Christians dream too. What? Who's giving that message then? But it is just so amazing these days. It's chaos in the churches today. With the completion of the Bible, those periods in which God gave His revelation through these things are over. Thus, we say with confidence, the only revelation of God that is for us today is the Bible and the Bible alone. Please understand this. Otherwise, your life, your so-called Christian life, will suffer. You know, I know a person who just started to speak in tongue few weeks back. And her whole Christian life became speaking in tongue. That's it. Everything concerning her Christian life is about speaking in tongue. That is not the will of God. And I asked, do you understand when you're speaking in tongue? Nope. So you don't even know what you're saying. Then how are you going to know will of God from the things you say and you don't even know what you're saying? Anyway, here in the book of Revelation, we see an interesting thing. We see a sign in heaven. Signs in heaven in the book of Revelation point to the events that happen in the world. A seal is broken in heaven, then something happens in heaven. A bowl is poured out in heaven, then something else happens in the world, and so on and on. Thus we see how God is in control of what happens in the world. Thus the signs in this world points to the reality of heaven, and the signs in heaven points to the events that happen in this world. All the signs in the Bible then point to the eternal reality of heaven and to the reality of how this world is judged and destroyed ultimately. All the signs in the Bible. If it happens in this world, then it points to the reality of heaven. And if it happens in heaven, it shows how this world is destroyed and it is judged. You read the whole Bible. So, now, conclusion for today. Now, when we read the verses 2 to 4, we are reminded of the Exodus event in the Old Testament. Here in the book of Revelation, we see the new Exodus, the true Exodus. The exodus from this world and sin. In the Old Testament Israelites, they pass through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians' armies are completely destroyed, and Israelites are victorious, and thus they cross the Red Sea, and at the shore of the Red Sea, they praise God. You will read about that in Exodus chapters 14 and 15. Now, as we read verses 2 to 4, which we're going to look at for the next few times, we're reminded of that event because here we see glassy sea, sea of glass. And God's people are standing at the shore of sea of glass and they're praising God. And they're singing the song of Moses. So obviously, the Bible is connecting this reality that we see in our chapter to the event of Exodus, crossing the Red Sea. Here in the book of Revelation, the new Israel, the true Israel, the church passed through heavenly sea of glass. The world, the Satan and the beasts are completely destroyed. The elect are victorious in Jesus Christ. Thus all of God's people praise God. But there is difference. There is a difference. The order in the Old Testament is this. 10 plagues, 10 judgments, then salvation and praise. When you read the book of Exodus, first God judges Egypt, then salvation, then praise, right? But that's not the order we see in Revelation 15 and 16. What do we have in Revelation? Order is salvation and praise. That's what we see in 15 verses 2 through 4. They're already saved, and they're already praising. Then, in chapter 16, 7 bowls of judgment comes. So it's reversed. Why is this? Well, because our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes our eternal salvation, our eternal heavenly reality in 2 stages. In the first coming, He accomplished spiritually. And when He comes for the second coming, second time, He will consummate visibly. Already and not yet. Already and not yet. Thus, spiritually already and visibly not yet. This is how Jesus Christ accomplishes our salvation. Spiritually, we are already standing before God. Spiritually, we are already seated at the right hand of God. But visibly, not yet. This is how Jesus accomplishes. But at the second coming, He will consummate, He will accomplish visibly. Everything will be visible at His second coming. But spiritually, even at His first coming, everything is accomplished. So thus, we have order reversed. Salvation is already accomplished, and the world is judged. And that salvation that is spiritually accomplished will be visibly consummated after the world is judged. Through death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the victory over sin and Satan and this world is already accomplished, though only spiritually. Our reality, our eternal reality, our heavenly reality is already accomplished spiritually. But visibly they are not yet. Until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are not yet consummated visibly. Thus, during the church age, what is required is faith. Because what our Lord has accomplished is not visible yet, but nevertheless, all of heavenly reality are accomplished spiritually. This is why church age is all about faith. Because it's not visible. If it is visible, then we don't talk about faith. I mean, if you don't believe something that you really see, then you're just stupid. It's nothing about faith or not. I mean, if you don't believe there's a chair, then it's not about your faith. You're stupid. How can you deny something that is right in front of you? But heaven is not visible. That's why we speak of faith. But it will be visible when He returns. Now, how and why God designed it like that, I don't know. But actually, I like it how He designed it. Because it's about faith. And to the world, faith is foolishness. Faith in something that you don't see, that is foolishness. I like that. The message of the 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and seven bowls of judgments of God is then until His second coming. God continually pours out His judgments upon this world. He does that until He comes, at which time He will pour out the ultimate, the final judgment. Thus, the end has come already, and the end is coming, and the end will come perfectly. All are biblical sayings. So because Jesus accomplished this in two stages, we are able to say that the end has already come, and the end is still coming, and the end will come perfectly in the future. All three ways of saying it are biblical, because how Jesus accomplishes this reality. Bible clearly teaches us, John chapter 4. Sorry, I'm going a little bit longer. I mean, I'm already long, but I'm going longer today. But hang with me here. John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23 says what? But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Listen to the language of Jesus. The hour is coming, but it's already come. He says that same thing, chapter 5, verse 25. Truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is. This double understanding of the time is coming, but it's already here. It's true. Spiritually, it's already here. Visibly, it's coming. Thus, the end has already come. This is the biblical teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says that the ends of the ages is already come. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, Jesus' first coming marks the last times. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, it is the last hour already come. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the fullness of time. Time has filled up. No more time. The fullness of time has come. What happens? Jesus comes for the first coming. He is born. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2a. Jesus comes in these last days. So according to these verses, the end of age has already come. But that end is coming. And the end will come perfectly, finally. Now, the real conclusion. Just give me 2 minutes. Now, when we go to the chapter 16, we will see the seven bowls of God's judgments. Now, when those judgments are poured out upon this world, even the believers are living in this world and experience those judgments. But when that happens, we must not forget what we read in chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. See, when you see 15, verse 1 through 4, you already see the heavenly reality that Jesus has accomplished. Already, you see it. Now, you're going to go through God's judgment being poured upon this world, and you're going to suffer, you're going to do, you might go, what's going on in this world? As you live that period, as church period, your eyes must always focus on what has already accomplished in heaven. This is the point. Jesus has already accomplished it. But when you look at this world, you don't see that accomplishment. Actually, it's the other way around. When you look at this world, you go, I don't see it. Here is how to live then. When you see this world, you don't see any of heavenly accomplishments. But you believe, you understand. The Word has told you what Jesus has already accomplished. So even as you live your life in this world, looking at this misery in this world, you will never forget what Jesus has already accomplished already. This is how you live. This is what it means by living by faith. Yes, living by faith is not okay. You know, I believe I'm going to make $1 million. I believe that's not what Bible says about living by faith. Non-Christians do that. Living by faith is believing what Christ has already accomplished. Heavenly realities. We must not forget what our Lord has already accomplished. It is already accomplished. The victory is already ours in Jesus Christ. Our heavenly reality has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we start from the victory. Even as we live our lives here in this world as if we are defeated, we never forget what is already true for us. We must focus our eyes on the reality of heaven. And you must endure this life with joy. Even when we suffer and die, we must not forget what is already true for us in Jesus Christ. This is the secret of the true gospel of the kingdom of God. This is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ who lived here on earth. Thus, no matter what circumstances that we find ourselves in this world, we, from now and forever, praise our God with the song of the Lamb, the song of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even as you suffer, even as you die, you praise God because you are already crossed the Red Sea on the other side. Spiritually, you already stand before God. So you praise God. Give Him all the glory and thanksgiving. This is what our life is all about. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your word. It is the only thing that clearly shows us Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished for us. Let us never forget what He has done, what He has accomplished for us. And with that understanding, with that faith, let us endure this life with joy, no matter what happens in this world. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.